faith is, well, it's a hard one. I think everybody has a different opinion on it.
What is faith?
I feel like it's something that you believe in.
Yeah, it's just something you believe in and something that you know you can be passionate about.
It's something that isn't apparent in front of you, but you still believe in, such as, you know, for me, I believe in humanity.
For me, it's, I don't even know. And I have faith, but I don't know what exactly what that is.
Just your belief, you know, something that you feel strong about, something that you know you have a strong will in. If you need it, then it's there for you.
Faith to me would be a belief in something that you personally believe in. Doesn't necessarily have to be religious. I guess you can have faith in yourself that you can accomplish things, faith in other people that they are not going to let you down. That's what faith means to me.
Good morning and welcome to week three of our series, Faith Is. Now this morning we're going to return back to Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 1. Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning as we look this morning to the theme of how faith is positive. Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Back to verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Over the past 2 weeks, we've discovered that faith is vitally important. The Bible tells us that without this thing called faith, it's impossible to please God. Now the good news is in all of this is the fact that you have faith. You possess faith this morning. Each and every one of us possesses a God-given measure of faith. Faith resides within us. You have faith just like you've got a heart, lungs, like you've got all the other components of your body God gave you as well. As part of the original equipment, he gave you faith. So when God created Adam, he created him a body, physical, a soul, which is the mental, the thinking part of man. He created him a spirit, he's eternal, but he also gave him a measure of faith. Faith, so that mankind might know and experience God. So that mankind would not have to live in this world separated from God. Because all that we have in our connection with God all comes through this thing called faith. So, good news is you have faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've got faith. You've got it. You've got faith. Now, we also discover that faith is omnidirectional. Faith is like a can of spray paint. It can be aimed in any direction you choose. With a can of spray paint, you could paint a car. You could paint a bookshelf. You could paint a bicycle. You could spray someone's wall, called tagging. I don't recommend it. We could spray it in any direction we want. When that can was given to us or we bought it, it doesn't say this is the only thing it can paint. It can go in many different directions. So it is with our faith. When God gave to each and every one of us his measure of faith, we individually choose where we are going to direct this God-given measure of faith. Some aim it towards technology. All their hopes and dreams is in technology. Others place all of their hopes and dreams, their faith in themselves. Others will place it in friends. But we have chosen to place our faith in the Lord our God. Amen, church? We have placed our hopes and dreams in Him. And the Bible says that whoever chooses then to place their trust in the Lord will never be confounded. They will never come to a point where they will meet demise. Our faith in God will always see us through. Then last week we discovered that faith has real substance. We discovered that faith is not ethereal. Faith is not blind. Faith is not an irrational leap into some dark unknown. Faith is always based on the Word of Almighty God. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this measure of faith that God has given to us, it will grow all life long as we feed it the Word of Almighty God. Faith is our foundation then. Faith is our foundation on which we build our lives, our hopes, our dreams, our families, our futures. Faith is our foundation. But faith is not only our foundation, faith is also the title deed to that which we need from God. Faith is substantive. You have faith, and this faith is the foundation for your life, foundation by which we get up and face a new day. It is by faith that we walk. It is by faith that we live. It is by faith that we please God. So faith then is our foundation. Literally, that which holds us up in everyday life is faith. But then we also discovered that faith is our title deed to that which we have need of in life, whether it's healing, whether it's financial, whether it's marital, whatever our need is in life, faith is the title deed. Faith simply says, this has been promised to me by God. My faith is the title. I received this. It is mine. Even though it may not be at my possession at this moment, it will be my possession in time. Faith is the title deed. Faith is substantive. Now, continuing on in our series this morning, I want us to investigate how faith is positive. Friends, there's no denying that faith in God literally transforms the way we view and challenge all the challenges and events of daily life. Let me put it this way. Faith in God literally transforms the way we view the challenges and the events of daily life. However, all of us, like a battery, have a positive and a negative terminal. And it appears to me, as I study the Word of God and study life and anthropology, it appears to me that since the time of the fall of man, mankind's default connection naturally gravitates to the negative side of life. There's an account that we find in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 that I believe vividly portrays this truth of how negativity is just the natural bend of life. 11 months after Israel had its miraculous deliverance from Egypt, they were right on the border of the promised land. Now, if I were to ask you this morning, how many years did it take them to get to the promised land? How would you respond? You'd say, how many years? 40 years, that's right. 40 is in Scripture is always the number for time of testing and trial. However, that was not God's intention. If you were to follow the path they took across the Red Sea and then towards Canaan land, you would discover that they came to the border, to the promised land, 11 months after leaving Egypt. Yes, not 40 years, 11 months. Now let's look at Numbers chapter 13. Let's see what happened when they received that moment and that time when they come standing there at the very border of the promised land. Numbers 13 verses 1 and 2. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. Now, as you go to verses 4 through 15, it gives us the names of all 12 men that were sent out by Moses to explore and to spy out this land that God was giving them. 40 days later, they all returned back to give an account of what they had seen, what they had experienced there in this new land that God had promised to them. And that starts in verse 26. It says they came back to Moses. That's the 12 spies that went out to check out the land. 11 months after they left Egypt, they came back to Moses and to Aaron and to the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Now, when you hear that term milk and honey, it simply means this. The land is a great land. It's a land with great crops. It's a land with wonderful vineyards. It's a land where there's water plenty. It is a place that God promised, and in this promise, he calls it the land of milk and honey. It's a great place. Here is the fruit. And I think all of us have seen at one time or another, the symbol of Israel to this very day is the bringing back of a cluster of grapes out of this land. And this land was so great that the cluster of grapes took 2 men to carry it on a pole. That's some big grapes. And so they bring it back and they say, here is the fruit of the land. It is a good place. It's a wonderful place. But then look what happens in verse 28. But the people who live there are powerful. Notice here, it's going to turn negative. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. These are the giants that lived in the land. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. In the midst of all this negativity, Caleb speaks up. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Notice how positive he is. Here's the man of faith, and this man of faith is saying, forget about, you know, the enemies that live there. Forget about the trials that would await us. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Verse 31, notice how it turns negative again. But the men who had gone up with him said, we cannot attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread amongst the Israelites a bad report. One might say a negative report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. It's a great land. It's everything that God promised to us. Caleb says, we can go up, we can take it now. However, 10 of the spies said, we dare not go. The land is filled with giants. It is filled with battles that need to be fought. And we are just like little grasshoppers. And they are so big, they'll just stomp on us. And that's the end of us. The negative report of the 10 spies then began to sway the entire camp of Israel. 10 people changed the minds of 1.5 million to 2 million persons. Look at chapter 14 and verse 1. It says, that night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness, Why did the Lord bring us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? They've forgotten all about Egypt. They've forgotten all about what it was like to live under the cruel taskmasters and their whips. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land. They tore their clothes, which was a sign of brokenness and contrition, and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Now, friends, 12 spies went in to check out the land. 12 spies came back out. All 12 spies had seen and experienced one and the same thing. They had all seen the fruits in the fields. They had all seen the challenges of the huge cities, the walled cities. They saw the descendants of Anak, which ultimately were some of the same generation as Goliath, the giant that David would fight later on. 10 gave a negative report. 2 gave a positive report. The negative report was embraced by the people, and it spread throughout the camp like wildfire. Sadly, from that moment on, Israel spent the next 39 years wandering through the wilderness, leaving a trail of death, while everyone 20 years of age and under all died because of their disbelief. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you can name at least one of the spies by memory who gave a negative report? Is there anyone that remembers any one of the 10? Let me see your hand. Wave it at me. I don't see any. By comparison, how many can give me the names of the 2 with a positive report? What are their names? Joshua and... So there are 2, and we remember which ones, the negative or the positive? We remember those that stood on faith and had a positive report. You see, the only difference between Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 was their faith. Faith is positive. When everyone else was saying, we can't go up to the cities and take these cities, they said, these cities God will give us. The land, yes, it is large. Yes, there are walled cities. But if God has promised it to us, we can take it. God is with us. Faith, dear friends, is positive. You see, faith sees the present reality for what it is, and then in the midst of the present reality declares that God is able. There is nowhere in Scripture where God expects of us to not understand and acknowledge the immediate reality of life. He does not expect us to hide our heads in the sand. God always, and I mean always, he honors faith. And so he has asked for us, even in the midst of the darkest of hour, to live not merely by sight, but to live by faith. So if God promises the land, God is going to give us the land. And ultimately, the squatters in the land are just going to have to leave because God has given this land to us, the Israelites. Faith gives us a positive outlook on life. Faith sees around the bend. Faith sees through the fog, and it sees a better day. Faith sees through the smoke of a burning home. Faith sees through all the hospital equipment attached to someone we love. Faith sees through the storms of life. Faith sees around the bend, and only faith can see around the bend. Only faith can see clearly through the difficult times of life when our minds are in a fog and when we're confused. Faith gives us a positive outlook on life. We have to come to the point where we, like Joshua and Caleb, we settle it. If God said it, that settles it. If God has promised it, it is ours. It is ours, and that becomes our foundation, and that becomes our title deed. You know, the Bible is filled with many exciting accounts of positive faith in action. I enjoy reading the account of Abraham and Isaac. God spoke to Abraham, and he said, I want you to go to Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer up your son there as a sacrifice on top of that mount. But Abraham knew that God was a merciful God and a good God. He did not know how God was going to answer. He did not know when God would answer. But he knew that God was going to provide a sacrifice. And so he left his servant behind. And he and his son Isaac made their way up Mount Moriah. They're carrying the fire. They're carrying the wood. And on their way they go. And here's the last words. Just before leaving the servant behind, Abraham says, me and Isaac are going to go up to the mountain, going to offer up a sacrifice, and we are going to return. I don't know how this is going to work out. I'm sure it was going in the back of his mind, but I'll know this, and I will declare this. God is faithful, and God is Jehovah Jireh. God is the one that provides, and he will provide a sacrifice, and we will return. He is positive about it. David and Goliath. David comes out to bring some, you know, cheese and some food to his brothers and bread out on the front lines as this holdoff was taking place between the children of Israel and the Philistines and this giant called Goliath. And when he arrives, he hears Goliath defying the Lord God and defying the children of Israel. The children of Israel are fearful. They look at Goliath and they say, he's too big to hit. David looks at him and says, he's too big to miss. Who are you that you should defy the living God? And he goes out with his slingshot and he brings down the giant. He lives by faith. And he is positive that God will come through. Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. He comes into the city of Zarephath. And he finds a widow lady. She's gathering some sticks. And he says to her, would you be so kind as to bring me some water and to bring me a little bread and something to eat? And she looked at the prophet and said to Elijah, Elijah, this is all I've got. Me and my son are going to eat this last meal, and then we're going to die. It's over. We have no more food. We have no more money. It's all over. Elijah is a man of faith. And remember, faith is positive. And he says, listen, if you will take and make a little bit of a bread and meal for me first, and if you will do that, God will sustain you until the time that the drought and the time of the famine is over. One is looking negative. I'm going to eat and die. Elijah's looking on the positive side with faith, and he's saying, with God, all things are possible. Let's eat and let's live. Let's not eat and die. Elisha and his servant, they're in the city of Dothan. He is so hated by the military might of those that hated Israel that during the night, they circle the city while Elisha and his servant are sleeping. When they wake up in the morning, the servant goes out and he says, Elisha, they have circled the city during the night and they're here to kill you. And because I'm with you, my life is in mortal danger as well. And he was fearful for his life. And Elisha looked at him and said, Lord God, open the eyes of my servant that he might see that there are more that are with us than those who are against us. And the Bible says, and the Lord opened the eyes of his servants, and he looked, and he said, the hills were filled with the armies of the Lord, unseen with the natural eye, but there with the spiritual eye. And God, once again, brought a mighty, wonderful victory for Elisha and for his servants. Friend, I want you to know, faith is positive. Mary and Martha's brother, you know the story, you know it well. Lazarus is sick. They send word to Jesus. Jesus, the one that you love, Lazarus is sick. Will you come? Jesus tarried his coming. And you know the story. Lazarus died. Lazarus was buried. And not only was he buried in this tomb, his body began to decay, began to rot away. And the Bible tells us in that moment, faith began to rise up. And Martha said, even though my brother is dead, I know that he shall live again. You see, faith sees the positive. The negative was the ones who were saying, hey, leave him alone. It's over. There's no hope here at all. Faith is always positive. Job, in the midst of having lost 10 of his children, Job having lost not only his children, his family, he lost his wealth, he lost his health. And in the midst of it all, Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that he is alive. And I shall, in the midst of it all, he said, I know that I will come through this trial. I'm going to be tried, but I'm going to come out pure as gold. This will not destroy me. This is not the end of the story. I don't know how God is going to rewrite all of this, but God did. I don't know how God's going to take and turn around what seems to be absolute defeat and negativity. How will he ever do it? But God did it. See, faith is always positive. As you read through the scriptures, you'll find story after story of what seemed to be impossible. But God turned it all around because God is the God of the impossible. This morning, some of you, your back is against the wall. God's about ready to knock a hole in the wall for you. For others of you in this room, it seems like it's over. Everything you've hoped for, every dream you've had, it seems like it's all falling apart. I want you to understand this morning, there is nothing too hard for the Lord our God. And when all is dark, God shows the light at the end of the tunnel. When there's a fire, God shows us the new house. When there's a job loss, God shows us he's got something better. No matter what, God sees us through. And there's a positive side to faith. You see, faith is positive because faith is directed not toward self, not to technology. Faith is not based upon friends. It's based upon the unchanging God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Romans chapter 8, listen to these words. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against those whom God hath chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Friend, right now, Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. He knows you by name. He knows what's going on in your life. And he's whispering over to the Father, Daddy, they need some extra help today. They're going through the flood. They need to know that they're going to be okay. They're walking through the fires. Father, give them that assurance. And faith behind the scenes says, oh, in the natural, things don't look so good. See, faith looks at the moment, recognizes and acknowledges the present, but looks beyond that, looks through it, and sees that God has a great plan. He goes on, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah! Glory! Glory, glory to God. Here's what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. He says, having faith, here's what we do. Here's how we live our lives then. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Now that does not say we do not see, that we bury our head in the sand. The key word here is we do not fix our eyes on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Seen. Say, I don't fix my eyes on what I can see at the moment, because that is temporary. That's the troubles. We fix our eyes on what is unseen, which is God, and God is the one that's eternal. Have you ever been around a Downer Debbie? No matter how good things are, they can always see the negative bend to it. Oh, it's a beautiful day, but it's going to rain tonight. You know, when they see your car, they'll look and they'll say, oh, I didn't notice you got a scratch over here. Well, I've got a whole big car that's okay, but you look at my scratch. Have you ever woke up and you've got a major event, something you're all excited about, and a lot of pictures going to be taken, you get up and there's a big old zit on the end of your nose. And everybody comes and they're talking to you and you know what they're looking at. You feel like that thing is as big as Mount Vesuvius. We just naturally go right back to the negative. God can do anything, but he probably won't for me. God's a healer. He promised it back in the Old Testament. He sent his son. Jesus is the healing we need, body, soul, and spirit. But I don't think it'll come through for me. And this negative bend, fast forward with me. Remember 11 months into the journey from Egypt to the promised land. 11 months, they could have been there. And remember what they do. They turn negative, they turn against Moses. They say, we wish we'd just die out here. And God said, okay, that's what you want, that's what will happen. And so for 39 more years, they wander, and every person that was 20 years old and older, they all died. Not one of them, 20 years or older, got into the promised land. They all died. That's what the 40 years was all about. It was 40 years of just letting the old unbelievers die. Those that could have gotten in 11 months but chose not to do so. God just let them wander. Here's what I find. Then you get to the portion where they finally, once again, get back to the promised land. And they come to the city, the first city that needed to be taken, the city of Jericho. And God gave a plan. It's a walled city, it's a huge city. It is so wide, the walls of the city of Jericho, they could have chariot races on top of the walls of the city. This is huge, it's massive. And no wonder they looked at it and they said, these cities are too big for us and these people are too strong. And the word of the Lord came and said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk around the city 6 times, once a day. Here's the command that was given. Remember how they went negative the last time? This time, the word of the Lord was, through Caleb and Joshua, don't say a word. I want you just to zip it. Don't say anything as you walk around those 6 days once a day. Not a word. I can imagine something like this. They're going around the city, and the people of the city are looking over the city walls. They're saying, you guys are absolutely nuts. You try to come through here, and your heads, we're going to have them. And they're screaming at them, cursing them in the names of their gods. And they just keep quiet. There's even some historical proof that they would even throw human waste at them. They did everything they could to demoralize them. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say a word. Because as soon as one person walking around said, you know, the stupidest thing I've ever heard of, Joshua's lost his mind. We're walking around a city, they're throwing their garbage at us, they're cursing us in the names of their gods. We're all dead meat if they ever open up the doors and come out after us. We should get out of here. This is absolutely nuts. He said, but you just keep your mouth shut. You know, I think we should have a new watch. And the watch should say, shut up. And some of you are saying, it's about time. It's 1:45. Pastor, shut up. And so, he said, I want you to just keep your mouth shut until the 7th day. 7 times around the city, and this time you speak up, and this will be a shout. There's going to be the sound of the trumpets, and then I want you to give a shout of praise, a shout of war, a shout. He said, now just keep quiet. You know, there's sometimes you have to just kind of keep quiet. I walked into Hospital Lake Shore, which is a Aurora hospital on the Lake Shore. As I walked in, there was a lady there. I'll just give her first name only. Name was Addie. Addie was critical condition, ICU. The family had called me. And when I got there, I realized rather quickly the family really didn't call me to pray for Addie. They called to plan her funeral. So Addie is in the bed, and they said, listen, there isn't so much as any brain activity. She's probably already gone a day or two ago, which just life support is all there is. They said there's no action in the pupils. There is the EEG. there's nothing here. And I said, you know, as long as there's life, I believe there's hope. And they said, well, we just want you to know that we've called you here because all the family's together. We just want to plan the funeral. I said, don't plan a funeral at her bedside. I said, we'll have time to do all that if we have to. And they said, well, whatever. I said, I'm going to pray for her. And so I started to pray that God would restore her. Remember, as far as the EEG and everything else, there is no brainwave activity. There's nothing. And I prayed for Addie. And they kind of were going, that's how much faith was in the room. But at least they were quiet. And after I prayed for Addie, I stood there by the side of her bed just as I was walking out the door. I said, Addie, I'll see you later. And out from underneath the sheets came Addie's hand. And she waved. Addie lived for another 3 years. Little Misty Fletcher. Misty was coming home from school. Kids were having snowball fights, and this would be right over near Cudahy, the end of College Avenue. Misty was starting to walk across the street. One of the kids threw a snowball, but this time he lodged a rock on the inside of it and hit Misty in the head. She dropped in the middle of the road, right in front of a car. She was hit by a car. I remember going to that hospital room time and time again, and everyone saying, there's no hope here for Misty. And I remember the day as I prayed and just said, God, you're the God that's always been. You're the God that created little Misty. And you will see her through. Misty, God raised her up. Misty was in a wheelchair, came up, gave her testimony, not verbally. Her voice never did return. But she had a little, I'm not even sure you call it. It would spell out words, and the words then would verbally be spoken from this machine. And she stood, not stood, she was in her wheelchair over in the chapel. And she said, God has saved my life. Little Misty is still going on today. Some of you are in a place, and all the negative talk, all the negativity will never work out, it'll never happen. Your job's over, your future's over, your marriage is over. I'm here to tell you this morning, there's hope in God. Hope in God. And He will see you through. This morning, if you're in this place, and you're just saying, I need to release my faith to God. I'm in one of those moments where I'm surrounded by so much negativity. I just need to clear my mind for a moment and focus. I'm not going to dwell, fix my mind on the problem. I'm going to fix my mind on the answer, which is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to release my faith, which is positive, because God can do all things. You come from all over this room. Just stand here with me for a moment. As we worship and glorify Him, you're saying, I want to just lift His name on high.